Welcome to Five Books for Catholics, when expert selects and explains five outstanding books on some aspect of Catholic life, doctrine, or culture. Ecclesiology consists in articulating what the Word of God tells us about the Church. It has been the central theme of the last two General Councils, the First Vatican Council and the Second Vatican Council. During the 20th century, several leading Catholic and Orthodox theologians wondered whether, over time, the faithful had acquired a conception of the Church that was more juridical than Eucharistic. In accordance with sacred scripture and the apostolic tradition, the early Church was keenly aware that the Church is constituted, above all, in the celebration of the Eucharist. As St. Paul teaches, the Church becomes the body of Christ by offering and receiving his body in the Eucharist. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 to 17, St. Paul says, "The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one bread." The 20th century retrieval of these teachings became known as Eucharistic ecclesiology and is sometimes summed up by saying that the Eucharist builds the Church and the Church makes the Eucharist. However, Eucharistic ecclesiology has also been criticized for offering a partial view of the Church. Nevertheless, understanding the place of the Eucharist in the Church is indispensable for leading the Christian life in full. In this interview, Dr. Richard G. DeClue Jr. would explain Eucharistic ecclesiology and five recommended books on the subject. Richard G. DeClue Jr. is the professor of theology at the Word and Fire Institute. He specializes in systematic theology, with a particular interest and expertise in the thought of Joseph Ratzinger, Benedict XVI. He's published articles on his theology in peer-reviewed journals such as Communio and Nova et Vetera. He's taught a college course on the thought of Pope Benedict XVI and has written the book The Mind of Benedict XVI, A Theology of Communion, published by Word on Fire. He's also interested in the ecclesiology of Henri de Lubac, the debate over nature and grace, and developing a rapprochement between communio theology and Thomism. You can find the links to the book in the show notes of this episode. Dr. Richard DeClue, welcome.
Thank you for having me on. Pleasure to be here.
How would you define Eucharistic ecclesiology?
Yes, I would define it as a way of understanding the Church through its intimate relationship to the sacrament of the Eucharist. So it's a way of understanding the nature, the mission, and the structure of the Church in light of the mystery of the Holy Eucharist.
And a common way of summarizing Eucharistic ecclesiology is the statement, "The Eucharist makes the Church, and the Church makes the Eucharist." Could you explain each clause of this summation?
Right. So de Lubac talks about this, and basically the first one might seem more obvious, right? That the, or I guess depending on which way you arrange them, but the idea that the Church makes the Eucharist seems maybe more obvious, because obviously it's the Church hierarchy, the bishops and priests, that through the words of institution confect the Eucharist, and so the Church is making the Eucharist. The other part, that the Eucharist makes the Church, might seem a little bit less obvious to the average person, but in some ways is also more true, because it's through the reception of the body of Christ in the Eucharist that we become the body of Christ. Going back to 1 Corinthians 10, for instance, like, we are one body, for we all receive the one loaf. That receiving the Eucharist is a communion in the body and blood of Christ. So it's the, and St. Thomas Aquinas talks about this when he refers to the communion of the church is the res of the sacrament of the Eucharist. So it is the effect of the sacrament is the communion of the body of Christ.
And the books you've, Eucharistic ecclesiology is undoubtedly of interest to theologians, but how should it inform the faith, piety, and practice of the average Catholic?
I think it's very important, and I would like to see it become more widely understood by the average Catholic, maybe become a part of basic catechesis, because it helps us understand the true essence of the Church and why the Eucharist is so central. We're used to thinking of the fact that the Eucharist is central because it is Christ himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and that's true. But the reality of Christ's presence in the Eucharist is also the reason that its effects are real. And we can fall into the trap of thinking of, you know, I'm receiving the Eucharist for myself, it's uniting me to Christ, but then we're forgetting that we are called to communion as one church. And I think a lot of Catholics don't really recognize the fact that it is the reception of the Eucharist that unites us as one church. And so the Eucharistic centrality of our faith and the emphasis on there being one church established by Christ go together. And I think sometimes we tend to see those as two separate truths when in reality they're very intimately linked.
The books you've recommended are by professional theologians. Which of these books is most suitable for the general reader, or do you have an alternative recommended title for beginners?
Honestly, I would probably, if I had to pick one that I would recommend, it's probably Called to Communion by Ratzinger. Even though he's a professional theologian, he's fairly easy to read, and I think he really does a great job of focusing in on the essential details. And it's a fairly short book as well, so it's not that hard to read. I think a decently educated person can understand it, follow it, and get a lot out of it.
Has Eucharistic ecclesiology facilitated ecumenical dialogue between Catholics and Eastern Orthodox churches?
Yes, it has. It's been a basically probably the best advances in Catholic Orthodox dialogue have come through Eucharistic ecclesiology. There's been a joint declaration on the mystery of the Church in the light of the mystery of the Eucharist and of the Holy Trinity. So, and in many ways, that's where a lot of the dialogue has been focused, is this mutual understanding of the Church through the mystery of the Eucharist and how the essence of the Church is tied to the Eucharist itself, including in structure. So it's sort of become the scaffolding within which we can address some of our differences as well.
Eucharistic ecclesiology, on the other hand, doesn't seem to be the most advisable starting point for ecumenical dialogue with Protestants, since the Reformers, with their original rejection of the sacrament and holy orders, and the traditional doctrine of the Eucharist, ceased to be churches. Should we start by discussing with our Protestant brethren the biblical testimony to the Eucharist instead?
It's an interesting question. We have actually seen some benefit from Eucharistic ecclesiology, even in the Protestant dialogue. The Faith and Order Commission of the World Council of Churches actually issued a document where you're seeing more and more Protestant communions begin to recognize the importance of the Eucharist and to begin to see their ecclesial communities as Eucharistic communities, which is something that really wasn't as prevalent in the past outside of a few exceptions. So there has been some advancement, but you are correct that the difficulty is their understanding of what the Eucharist is and what priesthood is so vastly different that you run the risk of using the same terms equivocally. And that, of course, is the major roadblock. But it is still, I think, an advancement that we're seeing a greater recognition on Protestants that, okay, the Eucharist really isn't some second order optional thing, but it should be at the heart of our Christian life. That's at least an improvement. And in some ways, it might get them interested in, well, if this is so central to the Christian life, then maybe we need to re-examine what these things really are, which could actually help them. So I actually would say that it's actually a decent place to start, because it's a way of getting them interested in it and then get them to think more about, well, what are the Eucharist and the priesthood in reality? If that makes sense.
Yes. And in the 1992 letter of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith to bishops, Communionis Notio, mm-hmm. the notion of communion, Cardinal Ratzinger criticized Eucharistic ecclesiology for its one-sided emphasis on the local church. And here I quote him, "It is claimed that where the Eucharist is celebrated, the totality of the mystery of the church will be made present in such a way as to render any other principle of unity or universality non-essential." How would you counter that critique of Eucharistic ecclesiology?
See, I don't really see it as a critique of Eucharistic ecclesiology itself. I see it as a critique of one strand of Eucharistic ecclesiology. And the reason I say that is Ratzinger himself does hold to Eucharistic ecclesiology. What he's attacking is the more Eastern Orthodox and, to be frank, Cardinal Casper approach to Eucharistic ecclesiology, which emphasizes the fact that because the local church, the diocese, has the Eucharist, it has the whole Christ, therefore it is the whole Christ, and therefore it conceives of the universal church as a mere like confederation of local churches. And the way I would, so in other words, I actually agree with the Communionis Notio on this point, because I hold to a more Ratzingerian understanding of Eucharistic ecclesiology, which basically says that, yes, Christ is wholly present everywhere, but he is only one. And therefore, it is still the ontological and temporal priority lies with the universal church. That it is the church present with all of her essential elements in a given location is the local church. But it's the one church that's present. And therefore, there's still this priority of the universal church. So I actually think Communionis Notio is a great document for understanding a truly Catholic notion of Eucharistic ecclesiology.
And the Catholic Church is currently engaged in a discussion about synodality. And in the Alexandria document issued last June by the Joint International Commission for Theological Dialogue between the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, stated, and here I quote it, "Eucharistic ecclesiology of communion is the key to articulating a sound theology of synodality and primacy." How can Eucharistic ecclesiology help us think correctly about synodality, which is a hot button topic nowadays?
Well, it helps us to understand precisely how the local churches, which are the dioceses or particular churches, how there can be a simultaneity of the full ecclesial quality of the local church, but also the necessary communion of the local churches as one church. And it's through the synodality, which is, of course, can happen on different levels of ecclesiastical hierarchy, but traditionally you understand synods is either regional or universal, but it shows how these local churches are not meant to remain in isolation, that their full ecclesial quality still necessitates this universal communion and a working together, so that the real authority of the local bishop and the reality of the ecclesial status of his church do not make them independent, that they, the local church is really only fully church because it is within the communion of the one church. And so it helps us understand that the need for unity on the regional and universal level is actually required for the full ecclesial reality of the local church itself. And so there must be this collaboration amongst bishops. Now that is focused heavily on a notion of synodality primarily being amongst bishops.
And to develop that point, would it also have to do with the different ways that the bishop, presbyters, and lay people participate in the Eucharist? Because this, the power of the bishop to govern is also linked to his role as priest. Whereas I think nowadays, a lot of the debate seems to confuse participation in the church with participating in the three offices which are proper of the bishop or presbyters, the munus regendi, munus sanctificandi, munus docendi. With the Orthodox, I imagine the Orthodox are also thinking of synodality in, along those lines, or am I mistaken?
Typically with the Eastern Orthodox, synodality is going to be heavily focused on the cooperation amongst the bishops themselves. Yes. Yeah.
Your first recommended book, or sorry, has, before getting on to the recommended books, has Eucharistic ecclesiology run its course, made its contribution, and become superseded or absorbed by better approaches to ecclesiology?
My personal opinion is that it's still the best ecclesiology on offering.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your first recommended book is Henri de Lubac's Corpus Mysticum, The Eucharist and the Church in the Middle Ages. De Lubac stumbled upon the central discoveries of this study somewhat by chance. He was assigned as an examiner of a doctoral dissertation on a 9th century French theologian and decided to read some of the other theologians of the period to prepare for the task, in particular Pascasius, Robertus, Ratramnus, Godescalc, and Rabanus Maurus. To his surprise, he realized that there'd been a shift in the meaning of the term mystical body. Originally, mystical body dedicated the Eucharist, not the church. So what brought about this shift in meaning?
I think he locates it primarily in the Berengarius of Tours conflict. So in the patristic era, you have this notion of the Eucharist as the mystical body, because it's the, if we remember, mysterion and sacrament are kind of interchangeable terms. So it's the body of Christ in mystery. So it's the sacramental presence is the mystical body. And then in when you have Berengarius of Tours beginning to question or ask questions about what this means concretely about the elements, the bread and the wine, if there's any real change or if it's just symbolic, those sorts of questions. So the questions about the presence of Christ in the Eucharist lead to the church to focus on the real presence. And so because the term mystical body can lead one to think that means not real, the emphasis ended up becoming on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And then mystical body got more applied to the church as the mystical body of Christ. So basically, the same understanding is present. It's just that the terms get flipped from mystical body and real body to the other way around between the church and the Eucharist. But really that Berengarius of Tours controversy was sort of the start of this shift in terminology.
And De Lubac's Corpus Mysticum has topped your list. Why is it still worth reading today?
Because it gives a good foundation in the primary sources from which this is happening in history. So it's a good basis because you're getting sort of the lay of the land and how the terminology shifted over time. And it's giving you access to those primary sources, which then is a foundation for, because it is primarily in a historical study, or at least that's the claim that he makes, is that it's a historical survey. And then you can build on top of that by reading more systematic approaches that are just dealing with the question on its own terms in light of that history. But it's always good, I think, to have a historical background before you delve into the more speculative questions.
And De Lubac wrote Corpus Mysticum after his first public book, Catholicism, The Social Aspects of Dogma. There appears to be some continuity between the two books, since Eucharistic ecclesiology stresses that the celebration and reception of the Eucharist is not an individual act of worship and sanctification, but ecclesia in its nature, meaning, and effects. Could you explain a bit more about this aspect of Eucharistic ecclesiology?
Yeah, so in many ways, Eucharistic ecclesiology is sort of the nexus of a lot of different mysteries of our faith coming together into one. It's almost like the microcosm of the macrocosm of our faith, because Eucharistic ecclesiology is also highly Trinitarian. So the basic notion is that the triune God is the origin and end of everything. And the triune God, of course, is the loving communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If salvation is a share in divine life, then salvation is a communal reality, not an individualistic reality. And that includes the communion of saints. That's why the Eucharist is so important for making us the one body of Christ, bringing us into communion with one another in Christ. So it's this fusion of the vertical union between God and man established by Christ and the source, which is the source of our communion, the horizontal communion between the members of the body of Christ, which makes the church the sacrament of salvation and unity for the whole human race here on earth, precisely because of the Eucharist. So the social aspects of dogma, or the communal understanding of Catholicism, really shines forth in the Eucharistic ecclesiology, because it's precisely where God and man are brought into unity on the path towards the eternal communion in heaven. I know that's sort of a lot of different things being thrown together, but yeah, so you're absolutely correct. Like, Catholicism and Corpus Mysticum do go hand in hand in many ways.
Thank you for listening. To read or listen to the rest of this interview and gain full access to our archive, visit 5booksforcatholics.com and become a premium subscriber. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and give it a top rating on the platform of your choice. That way, more people can discover it. You can also support the podcast and help us produce more interviews like this one by making a one-off donation via the link given in the show notes. As little as $1, £1, or €1 can help and will be greatly appreciated. Thank you once again, and God bless.